here we are again. Couple people sitting around late evening, early evening, whatever time it is where you are. It'll be morning. Sucks to be you. Anyway, we're all here gathered today to talk comics and movies. One movie in particular that was once a comic but is now a movie, and forever remembered by many, many people across many generations. I'm talking about, of course, a certain view, a humble vaudevillian veteran cast vicariously as both victim and villain by the vicissitudes of fate. For all he has is ideas, and as we all know, ideas are bulletproof. The Night Shift Bandits, talking about V for Vendetta.
Or is it for vegan?
Vegetarian.
He's aggressive enough.
Viltrumite.
Venereal.
What's up, everybody? It's the Night Shift Bandits. We're punching the clock.
What's good? It's me here, Professor Zach.
Master Arna Thomas.
And I, of course, am Bri, the cool guy, coming at y'all again.
Yeah, so why didn't you do the whole thing? I needed more V's in my intro. I needed more V's, Brian.
You wanted to vicariously live through his voracious vocabulary?
Yes.
Being vomited?
Yes.
I can't think of another word. Crap! Okay.
Yeah, like,
it's difficult to do V words.
I would feel very victorious, but you robbed that from me.
You're welcome.
I had a fever, and the only cure was more V's. And you thanked me. No, not the cowbell. That's for later. I need more V's.
Yeah, all those V's when he introduced himself was...
Ben is as sweet as she is vicious.
It was immaculate. Oh, so good. That was a great scene. But yeah, we're talking about V for Vendetta today, and it was a movie that came out in 2005?
Before that. 2002, I think.
Yeah, like, it was a movie, like, it was a 2000s movie, which you could definitely see.
Yeah.
Like, how that was shot, the sets, like, from the effects, tales, even, like, the lines. 2006.
I was close. Yeah.
Came out in my birthday month. Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, and it made double its budget? Nice. Congratulations. Had a budget of 50 to 54 million. Box office was 134.7 million.
It was a nice. Good movie.
Yeah, it was a very good movie. A 2 hour and 12 minute movie.
Yeah. Why you say that like you were annoyed by it?
I was annoyed by it.
Jesus. Don't be annoyed by it.
I was only annoyed by it because I know I've seen it before, and I was like, I don't remember this movie being this long. And there were certain scenes that I was like, I don't remember this happening.
Maybe it didn't feel like it to me.
It felt like it to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't feel it, because I was like, hey, let's just watch a nice little movie. See, this movie, I like this movie so much. It got me so hyped that I started doing push-ups in the middle of the movie.
Yeah, I believe it.
For me, it's just like, it's that perfect display of, trying to think of something here, going to sound like an old wrecker. But it kind of talks about like, well, basically it's just talking really a lot about fascism, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course it's fascism versus anarchy.
Yeah. I that's all like really blatant in your face.
Yeah. I mean, if the big dictator face on the big screen in the dark office.
With the red and black?
Yeah, didn't tell you color anything. Scene?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
No, I ignored all of that. I had no idea. The thing that got me was there was a dude in this face, in this mask, that killed a dude.
Oh, what got it for me was the Guy Fox skin in the beginning, which I forgot was even there.
I completely forgot that was there, too.
Yeah. So, which... Shout out to that guy, because I wonder if that's the same actor. Well, it was Hugo.
I'm not sure. Well, I know he did a lot of different roles in this.
Yeah.
But they were all the roles that V would have been doing. So he played a lot of parts in this without playing a lot of parts.
Mm-hmm. And he definitely did. Like, one of my favorite, if we could just hop around here. Mm-hmm. Like, one of my favorite scenes in the movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Spoilers, by the way.
Spoilers.
Tons of spoilers.
You know, if you want to go watch the guy with the Guy Fawkes mask, go see it. It's on Max.
I caught it on Amazon.
Yeah, it's on there, too.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm pretty sure. Watch.
Pretty sure you got other ways, too.
Yeah.
Go watch it.
Go check it out.
Yeah. But anyway, one of my favorite scenes is when V is talking to the detective.
Mm-hmm.
In that dark room. I forgot what the room was called. But it's when V has on like the brown glasses. He looks like a modern day Guy Fawkes to me.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
But he didn't have his mask on.
Oh, when he was playing what was his name? Brookfield, I think.
Playing some guy.
Yeah. Some old guy that we later find out has not been around for at least a decade.
Yeah, at least. So he played that very well. So, yeah. But yeah, V's badass.
Yeah, he is. Like, I found this entire movie, like, just very British. Yes. And the character of V, my favorite scene from him, is probably one of the last, the scene, it's towards the end. So, we're hopping very far towards the end.
Yeah.
He just got the dictator dude. Mm-hmm. And... what's the other guy's name? Cutley?
Cutley?
Creedy. Yeah, so Creedy is there, and, you know, they finish off the dictator guy. Immediately after that, Creedy is like, all right, take off your mask, and V's just like, no. With a room full of guys with guns that could just blow him to bits, he's just like, no.
Which they did.
They did. And I have something else to say about that. Mm-hmm. After he goes through this whole scene, after getting loaded with bullets and then shredding through them before they could reload, as he predicted, why did none of them shoot at his head?
Well, remember, the mask actually protects against... Well, does it protect against
bullets? No, it's just the guy Fawkes really mask.
But it's really hard, though. Because remember when the guy punched it?
Still,
it's something with that.
He has on bulletproof armor underneath all those robes, and he was bleeding at the end of that scene because he got shot a bunch. Not one person shot him aimed a gun towards his face.
But those are machine guns, though. You know,
I would have done it. If I was
right,
I'm sure they got select fire on there.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure I feel like something hit his mask.
Like, it was immaculate. I went back, I rewound it, I paused it, I studied the whole thing. Nothing touched, it was immaculate.
I don't know.
Like, they just did not shoot him in his face, or in his head area at all. It had to have been, like, all chest level and lower.
Unless they're really bad at their jobs.
I'm sure they are. They're
sure.
Terrible at their jobs, but that's my favorite scene from me. Well, V's favorite scene for me.
My favorite scene is, so many. My favorite one would have to be when he hijacks the news.
Mm-hmm.
And he's hosting his own little pro. Really, just all those little scenes of him just being the playful asshole he is.
Yeah.
Like in reality, he's just this overly energetic guy who's living his best life under the streets of London.
Yeah.
Making little eggs in a
basket, reenacting his favorite movie while watching his favorite movie,
listening to his jukebox.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just
what was it? 924 songs.
874.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just all those little scenes, but all of them had to be when he basically just took their greatest weapon and just repurposed it and just shoved right in their face.
Yeah. And like, every single one of those death scenes was just tailored for the person he was ending.
Right.
Yep.
Which is pretty cool. Like, I think my favorite death scene was the one with the lady.
Yeah, that's mine too.
Yeah.
Because she knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And she was just like, I was just waiting for you to. I almost did it myself, but I would have robbed you of that opportunity. Right, so
exactly.
Here I am.
And it's like, you know, you. It sounded like she was more being used, but it's like, you know, you still benefited the game from it.
She definitely knew. I think she knew what was happening, but was willingly ignoring it until she couldn't anymore.
Right.
And then her humanity got the best of her, and she was like, okay, no, this is terrible.
She was like the most sympathetic, but you still did what you did.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Scientist, man.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, V let her have a peaceful death.
Exactly. And that was the other thing. Like, he understood, like, their... each of their reasons for why they did what they did as well. And she was not as violent or violent at all towards any of them. She just had a part in it, and it was a major part.
Yeah. She's the one who made the stuff that went into them.
Yeah. Now, the first guy that he offs, I can't remember his name, but he called him Commander.
Yeah, I don't remember his name either, but he was the newscaster.
Right.
Back in the day, he was a commander.
Exactly. Yeah, so, when he got him, that was just kind of rude. Man was in the shower after, you know, visually and audibly masturbating to himself.
To be honest with you, he was probably annoyed by that guy.
Oh, absolutely.
He was just yelling at the camera.
Yeah.
Camera zoomed in mainly to his face.
Yeah.
Just spewing all this BS.
Very
and that's totally against V's like philosophy.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
He's everywhere.
Yeah.
So I could see just V being like, I'm gonna kill this guy.
Like, I'm just gonna do it now. Not even because he was on the list. Like, this dude just annoys me.
Yeah. And then you have the audacity to make your shower. I'm sorry, Brian. Go ahead.
No, keep going.
No, I'm sorry. And then you have the audacity to make your shower. You have several TVs in your shower, and they're all of you.
I counted 5 TVs in that room. And then the shower is dead center. So it's a rain shower that drops down on you. So you can turn to anywhere that's not the door. See you in the TV while you're showering. What? Oh, it's so disgusting. I was so glad V off them.
Yeah.
I was so glad V off that man.
Like, they having a shower like that says something about a man. So good.
Yeah, it's just so...
Then again, a rain shower sounds kind of kick-ass.
A rain shower is definitely kick-ass, but he had it in the ceiling. So it was just right there, dropping down from the middle of the room. Dead center of the room. So he could just turn around, see himself in mirrors, and then the door to go out.
So no matter where you turn, you're looking at yourself.
Exactly. Like, that's how obsessed with himself, how narcissistic this man was.
Yeah.
Like, I get he was looking at footage, but something tells me you...
He wasn't just looking at footage.
Nah, he was looking at footage of his show.
And reciting what he said.
Yes. Yep. Looking at himself.
Water spitting out of his mouth when he said it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, bro, relax, chill out.
Yeah.
If I was me, I'd be disgusted.
Oh, I'm sure V was filled with venom and vitriol towards this man.
Man. Just like Venom Snake. Ha ha. Ha 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 ha. V has come too.
Oh man, but yeah, that was a very fun one.
Wait, I just realized.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this movie, or I haven't read the comic, but I'm pretty sure the comic does the same thing. Places a lot of focus on the letter V, just like Metal Gear 5.
I wonder if Kojima was like thinking about or reading V for Vendetta around that time that he was making it, and haven't played Metal Gear 5, Metal Gear Solid 5.
He is a fan of movies, of course.
Yeah,
because I'm sure he read the comic as well.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
So it could be it, but also next character, Evie.
Evie, yeah. Again,
a V.
Goes back to my point.
Yeah. But she's just kind of... I found out in the books, first of all, that she's supposed to be 16. I don't even know how old she's supposed to be in the movies, but she's old enough to be working at a news network. So let's say she's in her early 20s at this point. Yeah. So they aged her up.
Right.
Seems
like they definitely aged her up.
Yeah. But it seems like they kept her character almost the exact same. Because I'm looking at this and I'm like, she's supposed to be like in her 20s? Why is she acting like a child?
I mean, 16, if she was acting angsty, then yeah, 16 would make sense.
Yeah. The comic. No. And a lot of her decisions kind of seemed like, oh, she should be much younger than she is.
Yeah.
In the comic, I think she was,
she was 16.
She was a teenage, she was younger.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the movie, like, she does have, like, seem childish.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of attribute it to that to the fact that, like, she was traumatized in the past, because didn't she go to, like, some re-education camp or something?
Yeah, she did. Yeah. And I can understand that, because she did watch her mother get black-bagged in front of her.
Yeah. And then that happened again to the...
To the guy.
Yeah, with Gordon, which, that dude was hilarious.
Yeah, that dude was.
Like, I feel bad about that guy. He actually kind of seemed like what V would be. Mm-hmm. If he didn't go through all that torture and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They made the same breakfast.
Yeah, they made the same breakfast. They both have secret rooms with a ton of art that shouldn't be out. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, Gordon and V were just, like, two sides of the same coin.
Yeah, literally. Mm-hmm. At least the way I saw it, which they talk about that in the end, where everyone is V, right?
Yeah.
What does V mean to you? It means freedom. It means that... He's anti-fascism, you know.
Like, that's a whole free will, True Blood for me.
it means free will. You know, freedom to be who you are. Exactly. Which that's what he reflected. Like, he wasn't exactly like V.
Right.
But him and V shared a lot of the same philosophies and a lot of the same foods and a lot of the same speech patterns.
Yeah.
And, like, it had a lot of the same secrets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he was still his own. That represented freedom, which in the end, when they said, when they were talking, Natalie Portman said that, like, yeah, V is all of us. V is me, you, my mom, that guy over there, and then you see that represented within the ending shot where you see everyone take off their masks.
Yeah.
And it's a few characters that have passed away.
Oh, yeah. I didn't notice that.
Yeah. That's why I think, like, that was, like, our first clue into, like, what V really is.
Yeah.
No, okay.
Yeah.
So... I really don't want to do it this way because this is a DC property, but V is what Batman wants to be. A symbol for good.
Basically.
And justice.
Yeah.
But, you know, unlike Batman, he succeeded.
Yep.
What? Can you succeed if you're dead?
Yes.
Yes.
It's called martyrdom.
Yep. He has become a martyr during that event towards the end.
Okay.
So, but, yeah.
I mean, I expect just to
okay. to that point. So now that we all talked about the boring stuff, let's talk about the love story that happened in this.
You mean between the computer and Adam Wahlberg? No, I'm talking about... Adam Sandler? Yeah.
Talking about V and Evie.
Oh.
Because that's all that was just like a love story between them. It was a slow love story from what I thought. But that's what it seemed like to me.
So you're telling me this whole time the reason why V wanted to do this, not because of freedom or justice, but because he saw a pretty girl on the street?
Yes.
Got it. Cool.
I mean, why did the war over Helen of Troy start?
Guys, stop letting your dick start wars.
We've been saying that for millennia. They still don't listen. And
they still do it.
Yep.
Even worse now, it's like encouraged now they're encouraging it, urging other people to show off the dicks of other people while showing off their own.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
It's
the moral of the story is don't be a dick.
Yeah. Listen to that one passage in Team America. It's towards the end of the movie when they're talking about dicks, pussies, and assholes.
Or you could be like MODOK and not be a dick.
When was MODOK not a dick?
Oh, Thomas. You didn't watch Ant-Man 3.
No, I didn't. Yeah. I did not at all. That's like, that has to be the only time then.
You don't have to watch it.
No.
I was not going to.
You don't have to.
No.
That's fine.
Yeah. I didn't plan on it. Not even as like God, background.
You don't have to. That's fine.
Okay, cool.
I can say, I'm, you see me, I'm not saying shit.
Yeah. So, another character that I was kind of interested in is the inspector. I think his name was Finch.
Yes.
Inspector Finch, yeah.
Yeah, so he actually kind of, like, he was one of the reasons why during this whole thing I was thinking, this is why sometimes it's good to look into conspiracy theories. Because it made no sense for him to go after this whole trail. Yet he did it anyway.
Yeah, he was a curious mind.
Yeah. So he found out what was going on eventually and then got kind of brought into the fold at the end. So I like his whole story throughout the whole thing because he's working on the inside for the inside. Mm-hmm. And then he finds out information about his higher ups that's like, fuck oh no.
Right, right.
Like,
he was
like, what the fuck is this shit?
Yeah.
And he was already on like that edge of saying, thinking like, man, this ain't right. But you know, you're just doing as you're told.
Because exactly.
You notice on the council, they have people who are down for it mm-hmm. and people who are doing just what they're told. And of course, people who just didn't really care. I think he was one of those guys who's like, I'm not down for this, but what else can I do about this?
Exactly.
Yeah, because he was the one that didn't really fit the others.
No, he didn't at all.
Yeah.
Which, I did like that silencing device that he had, too.
Yes.
That was amazing to put in there.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't remember much about the other gadgets besides his knives.
But yeah, mm-hmm. like, he was a very interesting character in the sense that, like, he was your window onto the inside.
Yeah.
And how even on the inside, a lot of people aren't happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, end of the day, in this world, like, nobody was truly happy.
No. Yeah. And V actually said that in, like, one of his speeches over the television.
Mm-hmm.
He was basically just saying, like, hey, you all are just living your lives redundantly day to day.
Yeah.
You all feel good about that, don't you? It was kind of like a taunt that was like that. And it got me thinking, man, that's essentially what's been happening every day to everyone here.
Yeah, like probably ever since COVID first hit.
Before. Mm-hmm. Like, when I was watching this, I did have a lot of that because they do have some sort of pandemic that happens in the movie.
Yeah.
So when that was happening, I was like, a lot of this parallels what happened here.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So that's all I'm going to say on that. But yeah.
Yeah, like, this is definitely living in this day and age. We start to see, like, a lot of similarities.
Mm-hmm.
Not just with V for Vendetta, but for any dystopian world.
Yeah.
That we're privy to in this day and age.
Mm, yeah.
And then, yeah, this was written in the 80s.
I believe it started in, you said, 82, right?
Yeah, it was 82.
And I believe it went on to 87?
I know it was 10 issues.
Yeah, it was quite a few. But yeah, it did go on, to, oh, I'm sorry, 1982 to 1989.
Oh, wow. So they almost pretty much had one, like, a year.
Yeah, that's almost a whole decade, yeah. But yeah, so.
Yep.
It was, you had a lot of stories around that time. Probably just talk about dystopian futures and whatnot. Hell, that's always been a theme, especially in science fiction.
Yeah, comics so, always have that.
Yeah.
Or they used to. That a lot, like, especially back in those days.
Yeah, it was really big. Take like Mad Max or what's another big? Oh, Conan was actually kind of a dystopian.
Conan was written by the man who is called the father of modern fantasy for a reason.
Mm.
He really played the whole Hyborian Age thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's stories out there. And, well, if I could just say this real quick, I do find the dystopian future where we reverse back to an extent.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas, you think you're in, like, I don't know, like, Age of the Vikings or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But no, Kino, you're in the future.
Yeah.
Start finding old new technology.
Okay, side note real quick. I was rewatching Rick and Morty, and there was an episode where, if you know, it's the episode where he has the decoys.
Okay.
So, at the end of this, one of the Jerry decoys survives. He's like made of wood or something. Mm-hmm. But he survives. He goes, runs off, leaves all the other ones to like get blown up or something like that. He gets captured by some beavers because he's a Jerry and a wooden Jerry. So yeah, he couldn't overpower two beavers.
Nice.
Then he gets put into the dam, but he's still alive. The dam gets destroyed. Time passes. He's like made into a cross, and he's like Christianity again. And then some more time passes, and then he's like Cowboys after Christianity. What the hell? And yeah, it just keeps going on like that. I forgot what else happens in it, but it was a good episode. It's the decoy episode.
Got it. Check it out, guys.
The yeah. Episode. So that just made me think of that when you said it.
But yeah, back to V and his vendetta. Yeah, which the title's self-explanatory. He did have a vendetta against the Bastard Party. Mm-hmm. Like he, and what's kind of cool is that he did all of this in a year.
I believe it was like a year because the first. Well, I'm thinking also, I mean, like, this setup for the first time he did it, and then he said, hey, in a year, let's do this again.
Right. Because the first time you're talking about is when he's in the lab, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, not in the lab. It's when he meets Evie at the very beginning of the movie. That is the 5th of November.
Okay, because when he escaped, he blew up the lab, that was the 5th of November.
Okay, so that was 20 years before that happened.
Yes. So when we said the first time, I was like,
oh, okay, so okay. The first time that we see him in the movie.
Okay, got you. There we go. Okay, because I'm like, man, there was a lot of explosions on the 5th of November
in
this movie.
We'll always remember the 5th of that November.
So many fireworks.
So many fireworks, which reminds me, we probably should not be anywhere downtown today.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I'm not going.
Me neither.
Wait, what's happening downtown again? Oh.
So, back to the vendetta.
Yeah, back to that vendetta of the V variety. But yeah, no, like, so let me ask you guys a question. Mm-hmm. Speaking of explosions, which one was your favorite explosion?
The finale.
The finale?
Yeah, the finale.
The finale.
Nice.
Like, best funeral ever.
Yeah.
I'll have to go with, again...
Or, Celebration of a Birth.
That too. Mine is the first one.
The first one was really good. The first one,
when he's out the lab, everything's on fire.
Just
yelling. Like,
Actually, when he let her out from after he was torturing her, and she was, you know, kind of cool with it.
We need to talk about that.
Yeah.
That was a weird part of the movie. Like
that's actually part of the movie I didn't remember happening. So yeah.
We need to talk about that.
When she was let outside after saying, yeah, I need to be outside, and it was raining instead of fire, I was just like, oh, okay, so it's a very similar thing, but it's not the exact same thing because he got brought to that point out of pure viciousness. She was brought to that point by someone who was like, no, you wanted to be stronger, so here's what you need to be stronger, because this is what made me stronger.
Right. Here's what made me be.
Yeah. Freedom. Here's what made me what I am, and you already want to be what I am, so
freedom.
Keep that same energy. Let's go.
Right. So, but yeah, let's talk about the part where she, he tortured her.
Yeah. I think we have to talk about the part before that when she's with Gordon a little bit first. Yeah. Just a little bit.
A little bit. Okay.
Yeah, so yeah. She's with Gordon. She's having a wonderful time after they exchange secrets.
Yeah.
She was captured by V and she tells him all that stuff. Gordon tells her, hey, I've got a bunch of like forbidden stuff like in this back room. Also, I'm gay.
I like how you said that. Like, yeah, also, I'm gay.
Because he kind of just pointed it out like that. Like, hey, I can't have, like, what my tastes are isn't young women, but I have them over all the time because I'm supposed to look a certain way.
I mean, to be fair, she did look over and see his gallery of sophisticated, fine, gentlemanly art of yes. the dude variety.
Yes. Indeed. Yes, she did. So, there was also that. But they swapped secrets. They became besties. And they became besties. One day, after he, you know, did a really bad no-no for his show,
that was some Smother Brothers level shit right there.
Yeah, it was hilarious. But
bad no-nos.
Yeah, he got the police kicking in his door after that, and he got black bagged. So that was that whole thing where Evie saw that happen twice. Then she tried to like hop out of a window, and then got by V.
Yeah,
who then tortured her for. I'm going to go with a few weeks because they don't really gauge how long time has gone.
They really don't.
It just takes a year for the movie.
I was getting the vibe like a few months.
Yeah, I was thinking like 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
So she was with him for like a few months and then he asked her for help. They went out. She went off, got with Gordon, stayed there for like maybe a month or two. And then he captured her. So, by that point of her getting captured and tortured was probably, like, month 8 or 9.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it would have to be at least that amount of time.
Yeah, because, like, one thing I noticed is that they do jump months. And they'll remind you, like, oh, this is 5th of November. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, we're around Christmas. Like,
yeah.
Oh, Valentine's Day coming up. Even though they didn't say Valentine's Day. But I'm just saying, like, they'll mention it in their dialogue.
Right.
Which I like. I like how they did that. Seamlessly,
mm-hmm.
you know. But anyway, that's what I thought. It was like a nice amount of time she was in there.
Yeah, she has some pretty good like Stockholm syndrome right there with that guy.
Yeah. When she came out, she was like, "You tortured me."
No. What? You cut my hair was the first thing she said.
I'm sorry. She's a lady.
She said the first thing was. You cut my hair. You tortured me.
Yes.
And then thought about it. Oh, yeah. You tortured me.
Do you? Because I cut my hair. Like, do you know how long it took me to condition my hair?
That is something else I wanted to talk about. The fact that she spent all of those months. Was he going out getting her makeup?
She damn well.
Because she definitely was very made up every single time we saw her in captivity.
Yeah, and now that you mention it.
And I'm talking about even during the torture scenes, she was very well made up.
Now that he mentions it, yeah, that does come back to you, doesn't it?
Yeah. This is the blind guy noticing that stuff.
Yeah. And it's like, and he saw what you guys were hiding.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, she was all like, it was torture. It was all like justice. And she was like, eh, I'm cool.
Yeah. Like, you know what? It's fine. I just need to not be here for a little while. And he was like, you know what? I get it. No doors are locked. But you want to dance with me?
I'm never going to dance again.
The whole thing with those two is just so weird and awkward.
I mean, how can you fall in love with a guy
you've never seen his face up, you don't know anything about?
But here's the thing. Wonder why she fell in love? It's the mystery. It's the reason why Tuxedo Mask works.
You can see most of his face.
But you can't see his eyes.
It's the reason why Sharon Osbourne is so irresistible.
What are you doing?
You can see half of his face.
It's why Zorro got the honeys.
I'm not saying that
you can see most of his face.
But you can and you can't. He has on the hat. He got on the mask.
Yeah, that hat was pretty dope.
He doesn't. Like, he doesn't get it.
Right. Like,
no, I really don't.
It's the reason why the glasses work on Superman. Like, literally, Henry Cavill, there's an actual article. And he actually did this.
No,
Henry
he did Cavill it. Yeah, I know.
Walked around with glasses and a Superman shirt open. No one recognized him in the middle of a crowd.
No. There's an even worse one than that. Is when Hugh Jackman dressed as Wolverine for Comic-Con. And people were like, you're too tall for the role. You shouldn't be doing this cosplay. Not hey, it's Hugh Jackman being his character. You're too tall for this. Go away.
Man.
Cause that's like, that's a really great Hugh Jackman movie. Right? But see, if those nerds were smart, they would have known.
Yeah.
That he's not short in the X-Men movies.
Exactly.
He's not.
Yeah. If they would have thought about that, those are those nerds who are just like, well, actually, he's gotta be 5'6". No, Wolverine is 5'3". So shut up.
No, they're concussion blasts, not lasers.
Yeah, he's got punch lasers, okay?
That shut come up. From another dimension.
An entire dimension that's filled with nothing but punch lasers.
Punch energy.
Yeah, it's just punch energy. You know who has access to it? Him and his brothers.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
Yes, I said brothers. For those of you who doesn't know, there is a third Summers brother.
There is?
Yeah. Yes.
No one talks about him, though.
Yeah.
He's kind of
very overpowered, and nobody talks about him. Because no he's just kind of like, I was discarded. No, we just didn't know you existed.
Also, guess what? Plot twist, your dad's alive.
Yeah. Oh, well, we already knew about Corsair.
Yeah. So everyone except the mom was saved.
Yeah.
So what if the mom is like a Morlock or something?
Bro, I was really wondering when is this mom gonna pop up? Like,
if I ever write comic books,
you're gonna write something. I'm gonna about do that. Mom. No one died in that plane crash. It just so happens that everyone separated. They either got powers or went to space or became a god.
No, that's what she did. She became a god.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, that'd be even crazier if like this whole time his mom was just the Phoenix Force.
No wonder you're trying to be.
That's a bad story waiting to happen.
It's a bad story waiting to happen. Do not do that.
That's why it works with
Gene. Hold on. Do not do that, Marvel. Do not make his mom the Phoenix. Do not do that.
You know we could.
That's why Scott Summers is an asshole.
That's why the Phoenix works so well with Jean Grey.
Yeah.
And that's why.
Oh, it's his mommy issues.
And they have to introduce the time shenanigans because, guess what? The Phoenix is old. It dated Odin.
Yeah.
What if Loki?
No.
What if no? I got it.
It terrorized Odin.
No. His mom, right, is the reincarnation of the Phoenix.
Oh.
Okay.
Somehow, some way, we could fit it in later. We could make it work later.
So you're saying that Loki and Scott Summers are technically siblings?
Well, I thought Loki was from the Ice Giants.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yep, Thor was. I thought Thor was actually from.
Oh yeah, Thor was an Asgardian.
Yeah.
An Thor. Aesir.
Yeah. That part is still. So now.
Do the Vanir even exist in there? I'm thinking way too much into Norse mythology right now for this topic about V for Vendetta.
Yeah, about all the vendettas. We just went down a little rabbit hole there. We gotta stop though.
Yeah. So back to V for Vendetta.
Yeah, about that vendetta.
I'm thinking that there was so much stuff that was just like it force fed to you in this movie. It wasn't like subtle at all. It seemed like the point of the movie was to just be like, nope, this be happening.
Yeah, and it was in your face. You know, and I hear like the comics a bit more. I mean, obviously it's way different.
Yeah, I can see a little bit more subtlety coming from the comics.
Alan Moore literally said the movie's like a defamed version of his story, which I'm like, of course it is. You know, that's what happens when you put movies to book or books to movies.
Exactly. You know, that's why mangakas are now working with the anime studios.
Yeah. But I mean, like, that's all I have to say about V for Vendetta. Unless you guys have something.
No, that's pretty much it too. I mean. A lot of the characters, they're just British people. I'm sorry to be stereotypical.
It is a very British movie. Oh, and that was kind of the point.
Yeah.
I want to point out America had another civil war.
Oh, yeah.
Yay.
Well, yeah. Oh my God. That was something else I wanted to talk about too. Because when they keep talking about America in there, they keep saying that there was another war that happened. And all of this stuff happens after 2015.
Yeah.
So
get ready.
Brace yourself, people.
Get ready, everybody.
Man, I just watched videos covering this shit, too.
That's all I got.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
I'm done.
Cool beans.
I will always remember this movie as probably one of the fondest movies I ever watched when I was younger. I was extremely fond of the movie. I think it was one of the first truly mature movies I ever watched. Because after a while, I didn't really watch movies because for some reason, me and my brothers were always so scared of the Harry Potter movies. We found them scary.
Those were creepy movies, if you really think about it.
They I only saw the first two, and the first two, I could see where you're getting those.
Yeah, like they, I don't know what it was. Like, it made us all so scared.
Like, the Basilisk was scary.
I thought the Basilisk was kind of cute.
Yeah.
The things that I found creepy was like all those portraits that were just watching children walk downstairs. Yeah,
that is fucking
weird.
I found that cool.
I
like the basilisk. That thing looked creepy.
That thing was cool.
Even though it needed the cockatrice behind it, but it's fine.
I like the Whomping Willow.
The Basilisk cockatrice.
Like the one villain, the one villain in that series that did nothing wrong. The Whomping Willow.
I don't know what that thing is.
It's a giant tree that literally is like living, and it just fucking it womps people.
Oh,
womp.
Okay.
As in,
all right,
it will bludgeon the shit out of anything that comes within close contact to it.
You know, that's good for guarding your secret areas.
Yep,
that's what it was doing.
Oh. I've never seen that movie, so great. I know what's happening. Cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, America was really fucked at the end of V for Vendetta. But yeah.
Yep, it was.
That's it.
America. Fuck yeah.
Thank you everybody for listening to the Night Shift Bandits. We're gonna be punching out so you guys can punch in. Be sure to like, share, comment, and subscribe. And if ever possible, it will always be appreciated so, so very much. Please, if possible, just donate a little to us on our GoFundMe page. It would really go a long way. Thank you guys so much. This has once again been the Night Shift Bandits.
Later, guys. Happy 5th of November.
We're punching that clock. Peace.
Peace.
Good night.
That's a secret V.